Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, Puma, we talk about
Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Everything in between. Friends, we are at our kind of our last name of God, and it wasn't an exhaustive list.
No, but it wasn't an exhaustive list. And, you know, as we are into 2026 now, and it's been an interesting journey this past year. Lots of things going on, and even just in the family dynamics changing, and Tori, your life certainly has changed in the last 2 months.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which sort of is impacting our ability to podcast, which is fine. But, you know, it's been very, very enjoyable. But, you know, we certainly want to do some regular podcasting, though it might be a little less frequent this year. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, maybe once a month. We'll see. But yeah, we definitely see value in this and want to keep on podcasting. And honestly, when it comes to this name, this might actually be my favorite name. But I don't know. Out of all the names, I think if this one isn't true of the God of the Bible, if this name isn't really authentic and real, then none of the other names really matter. And do you want to go over a few of the names we've been over so far, Puma?
Yeah, well, when we think about the name of God, our theme verse that we've been looking at through this whole time comes from Psalm 9:10 that says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you," which is really a statement and a promise. But you don't really know someone if you're not willing to follow them or listen to them, and you don't trust someone that you don't know.
True.
And so all the different names of God that the Bible has, you know, referencing God, and some were born out of a situation as God interacts with his people. Sometimes it's a name that God actually says, this is a name that you can call me, a name. Each one of those describes something about God's person, his character, that helps us get a little insight into God's heart, his nature, his mind, who he is as a person.
Yeah.
And the more we get to know him, the more we trust him, the more we trust him, the more we follow him, the more we follow him and seek him, the more we realize how much he's for us and not against us. And so it's really been a great time. He's the, you know, Yahweh is personal covenant name. Relational name that he, you know, used between him and his people, kind of the familial name, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. You know, he wants us to know that he's one that we can trust and follow. He's a shepherding heart. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He's out to heal us, not to hurt us. Jehovah Tsidkenu was another one, you know, the God, our righteousness. I mean, Lord, our righteousness. He wants us to know that he is the righteous one and his righteousness can become our righteousness. And it's amazing how all these names of God, too, as we looked at, are all seen in the person of Jesus. Like the Lord, our righteousness, for instance, you got 2 Corinthians 5:21. That, you know, he who had no sin, Jesus, became sin for us so that in him we can become the righteousness of God. We had Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides, you know, that he's the one that takes care of us, the Lord of heaven's armies. You know, he's the defender and protector. He's the great God and so many others. You know, El Roy, the God who sees us.
Right.
You know, so we looked at a lot of these different names of God over the last year. And hopefully, as we've kind of gone through this, it maybe has helped you. I know for myself, it helps me. I want to have a high view of God, right? Not a caricature of God that our culture creates or one of my own sinful desires and my own perspective. I want to know God as he truly is.
Right, yeah. Well, I love, too, because with these names, like you said, we don't want to create a God that we think is in the Bible, right? We want to praise God, love God, worship God as he is, as he says he is, as his word says he is. And I think these names help us give a better picture of the God of the Bible. And I actually had someone ask one of my teens, like, how come you always say the God of the Bible? Like, you know, talk about this and God, but you always, you know, phrase with God the Bible. And I say that because I've talked about just God, and I've had several people be like, what God? Which kind of God, right? I mean, the God of the Mormons, the God of, you know, the Quran. And so I like to preface the God of the Bible because the God of the Bible is different. All these names are unique to the God of the Bible, the real, true, living God. And yeah, it's been so fun going over these names. And this last one is Emmanuel. So, Puma, shall we dive into this last beautiful name?
Yep.
Let's do it. So Puma, we recently had some holidays, December, even Thanksgiving back in November. We've had lots of good, hopefully good, lots of holidays. And, you know, family is interesting, right? I mean, because you love your family. I hope you love your family. I think those, if you claim to love Jesus.
Are you asking me if I love my family? I hope so. Yeah. I love my family. I like my family, too.
That's good.
Generally. So.
Yeah. Are there times where you don't like your family? Because I'll be honest, I do love my family, even extended family. And, you know, I love my church and I love, you know, the God's family. But there are some people, it's like, I love you, but I don't want to go to your birthday party.
I'll send you a card. Right. Yeah. But it's, we spend time with family. And I know, like, in our culture today, American culture, there's so much a hostility between people, even between family members. So the holidays, you know, people have different ideologies and different values. And while we're family, we are obligated to get together. But that doesn't mean I have to like you. That doesn't mean I have to want to be with you.
Right.
In fact, let's get this dinner over quickly so I can, like, head out of here, right?
Yeah.
I can kind of punch in. I think sometimes we project those ideas. We do this, right? We know. We project ideas from our experiences, and we project those back onto God. We think, well, God, if this is the kind of love that I'm experiencing, then God must love like this. If this is how I'm feeling, then God must feel like this.
Right.
And that's not always the case. I mean, just because this is how I would react in a situation doesn't mean this is how God reacts or what God wants or God expects.
Right. Yeah, and that's true. I think, again, we have to be careful not to put our shortcomings, our own personal likes or dislikes into the mind of God, because he is transcendent. He is literally God. And it's easy to do, to think that God feels and thinks about people the way I do.
Yeah, this name of God, Emmanuel, I mean, it's the, you know, Christmas, right? The Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 1, you know, give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. This is to fulfill what the prophet, you know, said, the virgin will be with child and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And, you know, it's kind of a statement. There's so much, I mean, in Matthew chapter 1 there's a lot there. We're not going to unpack all the details and go back into the Old Testament and look at that for this podcast. Really just the concept that, you know, that God with us, God with us. One of the names of God is Emmanuel, God with us. You know, that this is who Jesus is called. And when we look at Psalm 9:10, those who know your name will trust in you. What is it about the name Emmanuel that would cause us to trust God or want to move to him, right? Yeah. God with us, right? I mean, what
big deal.
God with us. Well, of course, he's God. He's supposed to love me, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've even had some, you know, even my own thoughts, but even some people I've talked to in the past, like, well, God's omnipresent. Of course, he's all everywhere. Of course, he's with us. He's literally everywhere. He created the world, right? He's omnipotent, but he's also omnipresent. He is all present everywhere. So, duh, of course, Emmanuel, God with us. But honestly, I think that's, although that's true, God is omnipresent, Emmanuel is so, so much more richer and so much more beautiful. And even with that, too, because, like, well, I mean, so, let me ask you a question, Puma. So we would say that God loves you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would get the right answer on a test.
Yeah. We probably could ask anybody listening, does God love you? And maybe you have moments of doubt, but I think for the believer, you have to believe God loves you if you're his son, because he died for you, right? And that's all fine and dandy. But I think I've seen a lot of Christians in particular struggle with, well, he loves me, but from afar, right? I mean, you know, have you ever, I mean, in your own experience or maybe even just in your life, have you had seen people, other Christians struggle with this idea that God loves me, but he's up on a cloud and he can't always, like, he loves me, but he's not like, he doesn't want to be in my mess, right?
Right, yeah. And this is, again, how we project people and relationships in our life, because I mean, I love certain people, but I don't necessarily want to be with them. I want to love them. I'll send them a card at Christmas. Yeah. You know, I let them know that I care about them, or if I hear that, you know, they need some help, I might send them, you know, a gift card or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to love from afar, this idea, God with us, does God really want me? I mean, does he really want me? And not want me as to put me on a shelf like a trophy, but does it really want me? We think about romantic relationships, right?
Sure.
You know, you see someone that you admire and you ask a girl out, and you know, she either says yes or no. If she says no, then she doesn't want you. If she says yes, then she wants you. But like, in what way? Does she want you just to, you know, be her like online profile, you know, you know, status? Or does she actually want to be with you and to hang out with you? I'm going to read a verse right from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And really, I think sometimes we, I think sometimes we can read the Bible and we just kind of get very factual, right? It's what we do in the church and Bible studies and stuff. We kind of miss just kind of the reality of what's going on. So you have Genesis chapter 1, God creates. Genesis 2, God creates Adam and then creates Eve, and just the uniqueness of Adam and Eve versus all else that God created. And that God created mankind in his image, you know, for what purpose, right? Like what purpose did God create man in compared to the rest? I mean, we could say generically, well, God created all things for his glory, which is true, not diminishing that at all. But in what way does the creation of man glorify God? I mean, how do we glorify God? Do we glorify God by just existing? Or do we glorify God to function the way God designed us to function, which is to be image bearers, to function as persons who have the capacity to communicate and to relate and to think.
Right. Is there a purpose behind just God creating us?
And so we experience this purpose every day. I mean, you and I are sitting here, you know, in your basement. Together, talking and relating, and we have conversation before we start the podcast, and it's not even about the topic of the podcast, but we're just talking about life and and enjoying relationship with one another.
Yeah, we connect.
We connect. Now, where does that come from? That comes from a God who is a relational God, who created us with that capacity to relate, and not just to relate to each other. I mean, the creation of Adam and Eve, so that they had one that was like themselves to relate to complement one another, to experience life and share life together. We were not just designed to relate horizontally, but we were designed and created with a special capacity to relate to our God, our creator, in the same kind of relational way.
Yeah.
And just like you and I enjoy relating to one another, does God desire or want to relate to us like this? I mean, this is the God did not create us to set us on a shelf as a trophy. He created us so he could relate to us and enjoy that relationship with us. In Genesis chapter 3, we know this is where Adam and Eve, the fall, the sin. At verse 8, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." We read that and we just kind of move on to get to the curses and get to the, you know, stuff. But what is God wanting us to understand there? If we could read between the lines. I mean, God has given us his word, specifically what he's given us, so we can know him, right? To learn from him. But why is God walking in the garden in the cool of the day?
Well, it's probably not because he needs to stretch his legs.
No, I mean, why is he there?
He wants to be with his creation.
Yeah, he wants to be with his creation. Why isn't he walking in the Alps? Or, you know, why is he walking in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day? And it says, and Adam and Eve hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Now, if God's just out to take a nightly walk, I mean, you know, people go out and take walks by themselves at night, right?
Sure.
Take walks outside, right? Which is fine. But verse 9 says, "But the Lord God called out to the man, 'Where are you?'" Why is he calling out? He's walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, and he does not see Adam and Eve. He doesn't see Adam and Eve, and he says, "Where are you?" As if he's looking for them. He wants to see them. He wants to be with them. He wants to hang out with them.
Right. You see the desire of God that I want to be with my special creation. Because he made all the, I mean, he made everything, right? Animals, trees, whatever. But he's not looking for them. He's looking for the people made in his image, Adam and Eve. And yeah, you see the heart desire. He's walking because he's looking, because he desires to be with, to know.
And he says, "Where are you?" And they are hidden. And so they, you know, we're hiding behind the tree. And so they you see this conversation. They're having a relational conversation as people converse and relate to one another. And the problem with sin is that what happened there in Genesis chapter 3 is this relationship, the special relationship that Adam and Eve had with each other, the special relationship that they had with their creator, was damaged, was severed, was basically destroyed because of sin. The very purpose for which Adam and Eve and you and I were created, to have a relation, to relate to our God, for our God to relate to us, for us to be with him and for him to be with us, was damaged and destroyed because of sin.
Yeah.
And if the Bible just ended right there, it would be a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, well, it's bad news. If it ends there, then we are relationally broken with the God who made us.
Yeah. You go to the very end of the Bible, to Revelation. You know, love this. You know, chapter 20, you have the great white throne judgment where the books are opened and the names who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and people are judged and the dead are judged. And then verse chapter 21, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there no was longer any sea. And I saw the holy city coming down, the new Jerusalem," and, you know, talking about this. And then you get to verse 3, and it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," all right? So who's sitting on the throne?
Jesus.
Jesus, the king, right? Mm-hmm. Our God, our creator. Yeah. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God."
So you have the beginning of the Bible, Genesis. God makes mankind in his image to be with them. I want to say friend, but that almost puts God at a lower level. But he wants to relate to his creation. Mankind messed it up. And now here at the end of Scripture, the very end of the Bible, we have God, Jesus, saying, "Hey, now I can be with you guys again. Now everything is restored, made new, like the way I made it in Genesis. Now I can live and dwell with mankind." That's amazing.
So we tend to get really religious, and I understand that we, you know, we have Sunday morning services and we do different things, and there's a morality and a right and wrong. I think, though, that in the midst of all that, we forget this very simple point for why we exist and who our God is, and really his heart. Right? Mm-hmm. If you take everything and you set everything aside, there's a God who exists, a God who exists, who created. He created mankind as the pinnacle of his creation. He created us for a specific purpose, to glorify him in a unique way that allows us to worship and to relate and to communicate and have a real personal relationship with him, so he can express and be with us and to enjoy us. And sin was the problem. This is why the enemy of our souls knew that this is our purpose, and he knew that sin would destroy that.
Right? Yeah.
So if I can get Adam and Eve to sin and break relationship, then I can destroy man and I can hurt God.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is the focus of the whole Bible. It begins with relationship, it ends with relationship, and in the middle you have Emmanuel, God with us. God in his love for us, in just the right time, sent Jesus, the God-man, who came, took on human flesh to live, die, and rise again. That's why his name is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins, so that the curse and the sin and the stain and the damage of sin can no longer, or the opportunity for that to not be a barrier that stands between God and us, so that he literally can be God with us again. He can't be God with us with sin. He can be God with us because sin has been paid for.
Yeah.
And so the Bible begins, God desire relationship, create us for that purpose, and it ends, what is eternity? It is dwelling with our God forever.
Mm-hmm.
That God loves us. He also wants to be with us. He also likes us.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's such a great point. I mean, the heart of our God, the heart of this Jesus, he is not someone who, like you said, put you on a shelf. Oh, I saved you. Now you're mine. Join my collection of humans that I've saved. It's he loves us to where he's willing to be in our mess. I see a lot of people, a lot of my teens say, you know, hey, you know, I know God loves me, but honestly, I could get my act together because he doesn't want to be. I'm too messy right now for God to be with me. He loves me, but he doesn't want to join me in my situation. Maybe I created them. My messy home life, my terrible job, you know, my addictions. God loves me, but he doesn't necessarily want to be with me because of my mess. Right.
Right. But even that, I think, could be misunderstood. It's not like I'm in my mess and God is just with me in it. No, he is with you to help you get unmessy.
To overcome it.
Overcome it. I mean, the perfect illustration just happened this morning. You had little Jonathan on on your chest holding him, and he blew out the backside all over you.
He diarrheaed all over me.
All over you, right? But you desire to be with him. So you can help clean him up, so you can help restore him. And this is where all the other names of God come in.
Yeah.
He wants to be with you so that you know that he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals.
Yeah.
He wants to be with you so that you know that he is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness, and Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, right? And all the El Roy, the God who sees you, and all these other, this is why Psalm 9:10, those who know your name, will trust in you. And so the more we get to know these names of God and God's heart behind each name, the more we are desired to draw to him and not run away from him. I mean, our whole world is screaming, God is mean, evil, vindictive. He's up there just pressing buttons. He doesn't really care about us. Look at our world. Look at my life. But that is, the Bible is exact opposite. And relationships are not that way.
Yeah.
You and I know that relationships are messy, and they're messy because I'm involved in it.
Yeah, right, right.
This is why my relationships are messy. It's because I bring my mess into the relationship, and it messes up the relationship.
Right.
Right? This is the whole, we could get so theological. I mean, the whole Bible, this is the covenant that God made with his people back in Genesis 15, right? That if you guys violate this relationship, if I violate this relationship, I'll take the punishment for both sides, God said.
Right, he'll still walk through.
Yeah, you know, and this is and you see this in the life of Jesus. I mean, I got all these pictures in my head and the Bible kind of laid out just, you know, that God so desires to be with us that he's not going to let our sin be a barrier and stop that.
Yeah.
This is why Jesus and the gospel is like the answer.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all of us, you know, listening, and even for you and I, Tori, it's like, do I really believe that God desires to dwell with me? Because there are times that I don't even want to dwell with me. I mean, some people have inflated egos like, oh, well, who wouldn't want to dwell with me? And some
right,
people are so loathing that, yeah, they don't even want to dwell with themselves and everything in between. But we know that we are undeserving a relationship. I know that I hurt all the relationships I've ever been part of, whether it's a husband, a father, you know, et cetera, that I bring sin into that.
Yeah.
Not that I desire to do that, but I know that I have basically sabotaged every relationship I've ever been in one form or in one degree or another.
Yeah.
But, you know, God says, hey, you know what? I am Emmanuel, God with us, God with you.
Yeah, I love this name because it just screams the relational, loving heart of God. And for me, Emmanuel, I mean, why would God want to dwell with people? I mean, you mentioned Genesis and Revelation. Jesus is the glue that connects those together. It's our faith in the risen Lord Jesus, so we can have that relationship. And none of these other names matter. I mean, who cares? Okay, Jehovah Rapha. Oh, yeah, you know, Jireh, you provide. Oh, El Roy, you see. But you're not part of my world. That might be true of you. You're a superhero, but you don't want to have a relationship with me. Those can all be true. Yeah, sure. You know, L.A. on, yeah, Most High God, good for you. You don't want to have a relationship with Tori. This one name, in my mind, just it brings the beauty of the heart of God. He is all those names, and yet he still wants to be a relationship with you. He wants to dwell with you. He is with you. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we can misunderstand, too, dwelling with me. I'm married. I have a relationship with my wife, but I'm not always with her physically.
Sure.
But I'm always with her in spirit.
Right. Your heart is always
in heart
her.
And mind. Yeah. Even when I'm not with her, I'm thinking of her, or I make decisions with her in mind, or I'm doing something for her on her behalf. I mean, Jesus, right? He was physically here and then he ascended to heaven. But he said to his disciples, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Mm-hmm. It's not like Jesus left and no longer cared about them or had a relationship with them. He was part of that relationship, had responsibility, said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that I can come back and take you to be with me where I am.
Right.
To dwell with us or be with us. God wants to be with us. He is always with us in heart and mind and spirit. And even in reality, right? You talked about God being, you know, omnipresent, right? Now, he's not physically tangible, but he is with us, right? Yeah. He is on our side. He is for us. He is wanting to hear from us. He is wanting to connect with us. And that kind of relationship is very, very real in a physical world.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, I mean, today, I know a lot of people don't understand what a long-term relationship really looks like because of the internet and everything. Back in the day, you know, I go home from college in the summer, and, you know, if I wanted to, you know, call, you know, my girlfriend, call Mindy, I had to pay $15 to talk for 15 minutes because it was long distance. So I did that once a month. And then we wrote snail mail letters. And,
literally,
you know,
wrote.
So we would talk to each other. Like every other week, I get a letter from her, and she get, you know, got a few from me. but that was the way it was. That did not mean that we didn't have a relationship with each other. The physical distance didn't mean that there was no relationship. That didn't mean there was distance in relationship. And I think when we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, it's talking about physical. It eventually will be a physical dwelling together. But that doesn't mean that there's distance in relationship, though he's not physically present in that way.
Yeah, it's a relational word. It is God desires to be in relationship with his people.
Right.
And that's amazing. Yep. Puma, what's a good AQ? You know, as we kind of wrap up this Names of God series, which I just so enjoy, it's been amazing. What is a good AQ for us today in view of this name, Emmanuel?
Yeah, you know, all the names of God that we've looked at, those who know your name will trust in you. Mm. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. I think for me, and hopefully for all of us, I think it's very, very clear that God is for us and not against us, that God wants to be with us, not dwell without us. He's done everything so that we can dwell with him. Mm. So God wants to be with us. I think the question then becomes, do I want to be with God? Do I really desire a relationship with this God who promised to never forsake me as I seek him, a God who is is knowable. Do I really desire a relationship with this person? Because I think we really need to honestly ask that question, because I don't want to just use God. Do I really want a relationship with this God? And that's possible through Jesus.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. I think you're right. The question isn't so much, you know, do we believe that God is who he says he is? He's Emmanuel, God with us. Do we want to be with him?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're right. In relationships with humans, both parties have problems. It makes it messy. With God, he's perfect. So if there's a relational problem, it's not with God. It's not on his end.
Right.
It's with me.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's good. Do I want to be with the Savior, Jesus Christ? That's awesome. Well, thank you, Puma. And guys, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a really fun couple years podcasting, and I'm so excited to continue on. And as always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. My heart, and I think our heart for you, is that in 2026, man, could we just have a desire and a drive to be relationally with the God who loves us. May we not let sin separate our relationship. And I separate not forever, but just relationally, we can hurt the heart of God. Do we really desire to have a healthy relationship with Jesus? I hope so. I hope it's not just a desire, it's an action plan. Will I remove the idols? Will I seek the heart of God when he so desperately is seeking ours? That's awesome. All right, guys. Hey, tune in next time, Fridays at 10:10. And yeah, we'll see you next month. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.